Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
People to join us in Blog Talk Studio. This is such an important topic tonight. It just keeps developing. The last 30 minutes has brought even more insight on this topic that I never expected to happen. So we got to drum in one more time with Becca Shea and then get your drums. Let's do a real strong unity drumming in the next 3 minutes. And then we'll start our show with some amazing wisdom and knowledge. Let's do it one more.
And has let us run some people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
When your heart will rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleepy giant. No, love and justice are being held by the peace. Oh, yeah, we're bringing the power to you.
The drum beat of our Creator, our Father, our Heavenly King. Hallelujah. Ooh, welcome, welcome. I'm so excited about this show tonight because I have been just getting so much download and information. And I had a conversation with a brother earlier that brought out the fact that the number of women on this jury recently was seven. Seven women on the jury. It's like, wait a minute. What? So we are talking tonight about partnerships, partnerships to move beyond this black-white narrative and perspective. Everything is, the last year usually comes down to racism on one side and then division on some other, and we're going to try and bring all that together for you, overstanding level tonight. It really is a bigger picture to this madness we're in, the corona madness, the twilight zone. There's such a big picture, and that's why we can actually rejoice and celebrate in times like this, because when you overstand the Creator's purpose for all of this madness down here, all of this drama down here, we are viewing a play right now, very entertaining play. That's one way to look at it. It is so entertaining right now. And thank you for Zelda and Obadiah in the Facebook Live studio. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you for those in the Blog Talk Radio studio. I'm so excited about this topic because, as I said, the fact that seven women were on this jury recently of this very popular media frenzy case about a 18-year-old young man. 18, there's another number. See, we're going to go into the numbers tonight because I truly believe when something like this gets worldwide attention, that our Creator wants us to look at the numbers. Remember, look at those numbers, to pay attention to the numbers. It's always coming down to what are the numbers popping up, whether it's 11-11. In this case, seven women and I think it was five men were on this jury recently. Seven men, five women, which comes to 12. That's a three. Let's see, Mama AZ's in the studio, so she's going to be figuring out what these numbers mean and all that. But we're going to figure it out together, brothers and sisters. What is the message from on high with an 18-year-old going into a courtroom to be tried by a jury of 12, which equals three, and seven of them are women? See, the thing that's really exciting about this story for me is there was initially last year it was all about men, right? 18-year-old male figure brought a rifle into Kenosha, Wisconsin, and he killed two men and injured another one. So that's three, four men. Four men were in the picture last year. Is that right? Let me get my notes right. Four men were in the picture. Three people were injured, and the teenager with a rifle was number four male energy here, 18. Now, I want to just say something about Wisconsin. I went to school in Wisconsin. I spent 4 years in Madison, Lily White, Wisconsin. Madison, Wisconsin is a college town. That's where the University of Wisconsin Badgers, Big Ten football team, the whole town, when they had a football game, the whole town was at the game practically, or at least carrying flags and rooting for the Badgers in Madison, Wisconsin. So I spent 4 years there, and by the grace of the Most High, I actually left there with a degree. With all the drugs and sex and alcohol, I actually got a degree out of that experience. So praise the Most High for that wonderful experience in life as a teenager and young adult. But Wisconsin, for the most part, I want to just set the stage for us. On the earth plane level, Wisconsin, Kenosha, Madison, other than Milwaukee and Racine, if anybody has ever been to Wisconsin, you know, for the most part, Wisconsin is farm and dairy land, Lily White, and Milwaukee and Racine is where the ghettos hang out, okay? So we don't see much brown, dark-skinned people, at least back in 1972 to 76. That's how long. It's been 49 years since I went to Wisconsin. And apparently it didn't change much because what did we see when the young man got shot that created this whole protesting thing that it created, what's his name? Let me get his name here. Jacob Blake. Okay, Jacob Blake was the male who started all this protesting because he was shot seven times. Remember seven, the number seven. We're going to be really diving into these numbers. I hope Brother Eddie Harris is in the studio tonight. Seven times Jacob Blake was shot several years ago. That started all the protesting. And then another young 18-year-old showed up, 18 now. He was 17 then. That was eight. Now he's nine. Nine is time in the womb for us to mature maybe and be birthing the new feminine energy and all this drama that we're seeing. And so now we have the number seven. So tonight we're going to just explore the Creator's idea of the feminine being the final judge of things, because that's really what happened with all the media frenzy and the drama this week on about this young man being guilty or not, and the media and all these shows talking about black, white, white supremacist this and white supremacist that, and we just can't have this pattern of white men getting away with another murder, blah, 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 even though it wasn't even black men, but it was about Jacob Blake. So it was kind of an insult to the family of Jacob Blake. So now the latest news is they're getting ready to protest and there might be violence. So they're preparing for violence in Kenosha because people are angry and upset about this whole thing, even those seven women. So we here at Soul Purpose Healing are going to dive, go higher. We're going to go over understanding what is the feminine energy message for all this drama that we've witnessed. It's not about race, folks. Woo-hoo! Hello, not about race at all. We want to move beyond the black-white perspective tonight and really see what is the divine purpose in all this drama that's played out lately. Because everyone is judging whether it was good or bad, wrong or right. And most, a lot of people on the wrong, it was wrong. He should never have been found not guilty. He murdered two people. But guess what? There's always the karmic element, everything. So before I play my first audio about feminine energy, because that's what we want to develop, the importance of divine feminine during this season. Thank you, Naima. Jacob Blake, remind us, Jacob Blake, seven times, that's the focus. Jacob is just a messenger in this picture. Seven times, Jacob didn't do what he was told, and Jacob was not complying. There's all kind of aspects and perspectives on this, no matter what color he was. The fact that Jacob Blake didn't take into account, here's the thing I look at. We got someone pressing one already. This is what I take into account in something like Jacob Blake's situation. A lot of the police officers on duty these days are former military. That's how they hire them, because they already know how to shoot the guns and military. They're rough and tough and strong and courageous, right? A lot of these police officers have PTSD. So if you don't know how to respond to a police officer's instructions or even the presence of a police officer, trigger time. You could be triggering some of these unhealed military PTSD officers into wartime zone. War, it's wartime. It's time, get out the guns and let's kill the enemy. And so I see that with a lot of these stories, and it's okay if you don't agree with me, but I see in a lot of these stories about men being shot seven times by a police officer that you have triggered this officer into war mind. I've got a boom, bang, 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 seven times. Instead of being more conscious, compassionate, and just saying, listen, I don't want to have a disagreement here. Let's talk about this now. Come on, let's agree. Come on. No. Triggering. We were talking about that earlier with my female solution host. We're talking about being triggered. What is it that triggers people into anger and rage? Well, I'm going to suggest a police officer can easily be triggered if he's had time in Vietnam or Afghanistan or any other war zone. And that's what we see a lot going on, I believe, in the confrontation and the divine partnerships that occur when people like Sandra Bland and all these people we've heard in the news who ended up losing their souls graduating, there was confrontation, there was a spiritual partnership that came together, a divine partnership came together, and those people didn't want to comply. They triggered whatever, the anger and the violence in these men with uniforms on. So those divine appointments, in my opinion, are always a lesson for us to remember one thing. We've got men in uniform who have PTSD, and their brains don't work like ours, where we would want to be in a calm conversation about, why don't you just do what I ask you to do? Because I put this uniform on because I want to be in charge. I want to control, and I'm narcissistic. So all those energies are working in our society today, where I'm going to start off, but go digress a little bit, in biblical foundation. I want to start off tonight in biblical foundation because we need to have understanding, not understanding. We don't need to be struggling about, what does this mean? Why did this happen? Oh, why did this white man have to go free when he killed two people and black men? And why do we have this pattern once again where white men are getting off and black men don't get off? And we have the same argument and division going on every time this drama occurs. So I want to read to you Jeremiah 1, verse 5, because it's going to set the biblical wisdom foundation for us tonight on why we have divine partnerships even with PTSD police officers. Yes, when we meet up with them in this realm, it's a divine appointment. It was ordained. And it was supposed to have, whatever happens after that, whether it's death or whatever, guess what? It was all planned. So listen up with Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. What does that mean? You think about, what does that mean to you? If this is true, you may not be a Bible reader. You may not even believe in scripture. But what do those words say to your soul? To your mind, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. It's something we all have in common, right? We were all formed in our mother's womb. Then it goes on to say, before you were born, I sanctified you. Or we could say, before you were born, I set you apart. You are different. You are special. You've got a special assignment. And then he says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, some people, I can hear them all say, well, that just means it was for Jeremiah. It wasn't for us. We weren't. I'm not a prophet. That's for Jeremiah. Well, it just depends on your belief system. If you've read the Bible long enough, or if you know scripture, if you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today, you're a prophet if you're speaking truth out of your mouth. So that's just a foundation to help us see and understand why this whole drama that was played out in a courtroom this week with the media frenzy and all this hate and the death threats on the attorneys and all that, why did all this occur? I'm suggesting to you tonight, it's all about reminding us about the divine feminine energy that's rising up, because who had the final word on this trial? Seven feminine women. At least we think they were. From these days, I saw a documentary on Netflix about transgenders. These transgenders look good in their female bodies. I mean, after an hour and a half of watching transgenders on this documentary about transgenders on Netflix, I'm like, I would never know that those were men in those bodies. So attractive. So there's a lot of women in men's bodies, men in women's bodies, whatever, transgenders. So as far as we know, those seven bodies on the court and the jury for this 18-year-old teenager, Rittenhouse, they were all women. So I believe the Creator has a message for us about the feminine energy and how important it is. So that's what we're developing tonight. And whatever your viewpoint is, that's fine about what happened on this level. I am not going to disagree with anyone. I'm not going to debate with anyone about what happened on this level, whether it was right or wrong, who was right, wrong, who was wrong, who got shot, who didn't. Seven bullets is a number for the Creator to speak to us. So I've got someone who's pressed one in the studio. I'm going to go ahead and open the mic. Let's see, what time is it? Yeah, we got a few minutes before the break. Before I play for you a very important message from Sadhguru about the divine feminine and why this whole courtroom scene this week and the results of seven women who had the final say is all about the Creator reminding us of our divine appointments on earth and the numbers that are speaking to us today about what happened. So let me go ahead and open the mic. I welcome your comments. Believe me, I'm not debating about whether who was wrong or right tonight. I'm giving what I have received about the divine feminine as the main focus of this trial that we've observed that went on in the earth plane. So we have a caller, 872-242. Thank you for calling
yes.
in. Your mic is open. Go ahead.
Thank you, Sister Viala. You know, I think that if anything should be mandated, it should be immunization and not vaccination. You see, building the natural immunity, strengthening and optimizing one's immune system does not require any injections whatsoever. So part of background checks for gun owners, which includes most individuals in law enforcement, there should be a mandatory regular recorded Dianetics auditing session. That should apply to everyone. And that should be part and parcel of mandated immunization, but not vaccination. Because part of building natural immunity is resolving the PTSD and the trigger happiness of police officers. And so there has to be a third party that monitors the recorded Dianetics auditing sessions, but the release of the Dianetics auditing session can never be done without the consent and knowledge of the subject or the pre-clear, you know. And those recorded Dianetics auditing sessions should also be used or made available for use as recorded videotape depositions that are admissible in court, because that will give people an opportunity to give their testimony that they would not otherwise be able to give, and it should be admissible in court under penalty of perjury.
Okay, give your name and where you're calling from, please.
Andrew Nelson Bay of Chicago. I know my voice sounds a little bit different.
Yeah, it does.
Andrew Nelson.
Yes. In Chicago. Now, Andrew has brought out an earthly message here about immunizations and so forth and so forth. But we're going to talk tonight about a higher court, Andrew. What is your perspective on a higher court and all of this, whether it's immunizations or court scenes, judges? What's your perspective on your journey on this earth in the spiritual sense?
The Universal House of Justice.
This is the soul purpose healing. Yes.
The lady that you had on a couple weeks ago from the UK, Michelle Fielding, I need her contact information. She's from the Galactic Federation. And
yes,
what she said is so very encouraging to me. Everyone who's enlightened needs to hear her and really deepen on what she was talking about, the quantum consciousness, you know, and
the
quantum financial system and the quantum voting system and how we're going to get a government that works for everybody. And so that's very encouraging. So does she have a website or anything, you know?
I'm not sure, but I've got your number. So what I'll do is after the show, I will send you. I don't know about a website, but she's on you. You know what? I'm gonna just say you should go to YouTube. She's all over YouTube, and that's what I always
talk to. She is so very encouraging. She presented
Okay, so thank you, Andrew Nelson. Because we all have, that's what we're talking about, perspective tonight. And I was laying, why I decided on this topic was because I was lying down listening to a show this morning from Santita Jackson, I think it's her, Jesse Jackson and his daughter were on talking about the trial. And all, I was just laying there with my eyes closed listening, and all I could hear was black, white. Black, white, black, white. And I thought, wow, why is the focus so much on colors and not on the creator's perspective? So that's what I'm here to share with you tonight, a higher perspective. We are not going to come out of this twilight zone staying in the third dimensional perspective of black. Everything is about black man, white supremacy. I heard white supremacy over and over again, over and over. And we keep talking about the color of the person's skin versus even the culture. You know, as I said, I went to school in Wisconsin. That culture is lily white, farmers, milk cows, and cheese, you know? So if you don't understand the culture, you don't understand why people do what they do. And, you know, traveling around the world gives you a whole different, a worldly perspective on culture. So you don't come back to the United States thinking black, white, this, that. They're black is this, black is bad, white's good, whatever. you come thinking, wow, this is an amazing country, world we live in, and there's so many dynamics to dimensions to this journey that we're on. And I didn't hear the dimensions this week about this trial at all. All I heard was black, white, white supremacy, blah, 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 and then people angry about the decision that came about because seven women were on that jury. But that's so significant now that I know it. And so we're going to talk about that, the divine feminine, when we come back. Let me see if my I'm waiting for my executive producer Naima Lateef to give me the okay to go. She's ready for commercials, and then because it's time for our first commercial break. And Naima Lateef, if you're ready, let me know, and I'll stop talking. But I'm excited because what we're going to learn tonight is going to take us to the next level, maybe fourth-dimensional thinking. It's not wrong or right what happened. It was all about a divine partnership, divine appointment. And we all have divine appointments. I don't care if it's your brother, your sister, your mother, your boss. That scripture about before I put you in the womb of your mother, I knew you, was about our starseed existence in the cosmic realm before we came into the womb. And I'm suggesting tonight you have every one of us has a specific assignment. Even Kyle Rittenhouse had an assignment that he is still working, completing, and even the people who died, Jacob, I bet Mr. Jacob is a very, Jacob Blake, I bet he's a lot humbler now in a wheelchair. And that was all, it's not like I'm trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but everything that happens on this earth was a divine assignment and partnership, according to Jeremiah chapter 1. So, Naima, if you're ready, go ahead with the commercials, and we'll be right back. Thank you for being here tonight. It's so exciting. We're going to be in unity before it's over. Yes.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalateef.com. That's www.naimalateef.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits?
When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
From the Female Solution Studio. We have a caller in the Female Solution Studio. I'm going to let her open the mic. I do not like to keep my callers waiting, because I really appreciate you joining in this conversation and giving us some input on how we can make changes in our lives. So go ahead, Naima, with the caller.
Yeah, this is Pianki. How you doing?
Good evening, Pianki. How are you?
You know, you really put some good points out there about the energy. And one thing that is not considered is what's called cause and effect. And you may mention
karma.
Blake.
How about karma?
Yes. It can be looked at as that direction too. But see, today, for some reason.
Right, I do.
You have a lot of people that just don't want to comply or respect authority. And it starts off in the home. If you don't have that authority figure in the home, then if you have children in the home, they are not going to respect that authority. That carries on to the schools, and then it carries on out into the streets, because they have had some years behind them where it seemed that the way they are did not affect them that much. So they don't respect authority. And you see that out in the street, and you talk about this gentleman that got shot 7 times. The authority, the court system, had a restraining order on him showing up where he showed up. He wasn't supposed to be there. And the lady, his mama's, his baby mama's, I think, got the court order. And when he showed up, she called the police. Now, showing up is one disrespect for authority. Then when she called the police want to question him. And he further didn't respect that authority and tried to wrestle to the point where they use a taser, which was another point of authority. He didn't respect that. Then the end result is what it is. Now, if he had respected the first line of authority by not being there, then the unfortunate incident that happened to him wouldn't occur. Then the people wouldn't have nothing to riot for. Riot, burn, loot, and so on and so on. Then, if that hadn't happened, the incident with Mr. Rittenhouse wouldn't have had a reason to start. As you call it karma, I call it cause and effect. So what's
absolutely
the lesson learned?
Reaping and sowing.
The lesson learned is people have to learn how to respect authority and also respect others. Even though you don't agree, you still can respectfully say so and go about your business. And you're right, the way the news report things is always black against white. That one black news network, I can't get its acronym, but it's always reported like this. White man shoots black man. White cop shoots black man. White woman calls police on black man. A black man this, that. And they use those adjectives in order to elevate emotions, and then the rest begins the way it usually do. So what's the solution? Well, one thing, you got to start teaching your kids and have the ability. And if you can't do it as a mother, then there should be mechanisms with uncles, fathers, brothers to deal with that male child, and also on the female side to deal with that female child. Those mechanisms should be in place because they need it. Apparently, you can't do it all by yourself, female. And of course, there's exceptions to the rule, but the normal is that it's just not working. That would be a good start. Having authority in that child's life so they would understand how to respect that authority. So that's my answer to your solution.
Well, thank you, Pianki. I'm glad you called in because you always bring another perspective on this, and the reaping and sowing is always, always, in my opinion, to be considered when anything happens that we disagree on, and the planting and the karma. Naima made a comment. She said Jacob Blake was 29 years old. I don't see the significance. Well, you always add the two digits together, or three or four, to come up with significant spiritual number. That would be 11. So 11, Naima, is a very, very powerful divine number that speaks to us about angels are present. It's like divinity is at work. When you see 11 keeps coming up, you have a very important purpose on earth. You are divine. You are in the divine energy, 11. So 29-year-old Jacob Blake was in divine energy is what that says to us today. And then her other comment was that Philando Castile was calm. He had a concealed carry. Police officer still shot him. People with PTSD should not be hired to serve and protect. They're sick and need treatment. That's the lesson we as a society are supposed to learn. Absolutely, absolutely. And then here's the other lesson. Karma is always at work. Philando Castile, I'd be wondering what day he died, how old was he. All those numbers will tell us even more about that situation. But absolutely, I totally agree with Naima about these comments and her perspective, because there's always more to it than what we see happening with our eyes, and especially what the media is showing us, because they lie like hell. So let's go to the divine feminine presence in this recent trial. So seven is like perfection, divinity. Your creator is at work in this. The seven says to me, creator is definitely at work in this instance, in this circumstance. Seven women, five men, that equals 12. That's a three. Mama AZ, you know what three means. Three is the triangle of completion. That what that says in a higher overstanding perspective is that the number three is, it's done. It's sealed. Triangle, three sides. My sister, when she passed, three breaths at 3 o'clock in room V3 on the third day, 4-3 showed up, and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that means it's complete. And the divinity, the message was firm and powerful. So we had a jury of seven women, five men. To add them together, that's a 12, that's a 3. Perfection in the spiritual realm. But we still got Jesse Jackson and people and Al Sharpton wanting to create a case, people demonstrating. That's okay. That's the third dimension reality that we are going to probably see for a while until people wake the F up and realize the universe is going to drag your ass in the fourth dimension whether you like it or not. But we're going to have these debates and these division and all this arguing about, oh, it's a black man got killed by a wife. This is horrible. This is that hatred. So let's go to Sadhguru. I love his perspective on just about everything. On the importance of the feminine energy at this time, especially when this case got so much attention and people missed the seven of the female. The females had the last.
Through the mystic eye, eminent personalities from various walks of life in conversation with. Globally recognized film director, media visionary, and proponent on the future of new media. Walk through the making of a space dedicated entirely to the divine feminine. Explaining the need for the feminine in today's society, Sadhguru speaks of the phenomenon of consecrating energy forms and the dynamic forms of goddesses present in this culture. Watch as he takes us through the unique process of designing an appropriate structure suitable for a devi.
I'm very fascinated by what you, because there's a lot of construction going on here. It's almost like, you know,
the whole humanity is in construction.
All right, I'll buy that. So Sadhguru, this is a temple that I know you told me that it will last thousands of years, and it's a feminine temple. It's a temple devoted to the female aspect, not only of us, but the whole existence, the feminine aspect of existence. So tell me about this. This is not man-woman. What is it?
What is feminine? What is masculine? So you need to understand this. Human understanding comes from a certain perception, a limited perception. When I say a limited perception, right now your whole perception comes through your sense perception. Sense organs can perceive something only if there is something to compare with. For example, right now, you know silence only because there is sound, mm-hmm. and you know sound only because there is silence, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
See, right now, if I show you this part of my hand, you can only see this.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot see this. If I show you this, you can only see this. So this is the nature of sense perception, whether it's your eyes or your ears or your smell or your taste or your touch, everything is only by comparison. So the moment you perceive through sense organs, you already divided the existence.
Mm.
So because of the division, your mind also thinks in divisions. Because without divisions, you cannot perceive. Without two, there is no logic. So you need two.
Mm.
So these two fundamental principles, because we are human, we are a species with man, woman, masculine, feminine, we are calling them masculine and feminine. So in this culture, it may be referred to as Shiva Shakti, or in other cultures, yin and yang, whatever.
So Shiva being masculine and
yes.
Shakti being feminine.
Yeah.
Why Shakti? Shakti means power. Why is that feminine?
Not power. Shakti means energy.
Energy, okay.
It's energy. Unfortunately, because of various, civilizational and exploitative situations in the human societies, we are thinking of energy as power and dominance. No, energy is just energy. Without energy, nothing happens.
So I could say this temple is a temple for energy.
Feminine energy.
Feminine energy. So let's go in and tell me what feminine energy is as against masculine energy. Is this what you call a leap of faith, right? From intellectualism to consciousness is one big leap.
It doesn't take any faith, it just needs a leg.
Or a broken leg, okay.
When we say a temple, this must be understood. The temple is like a body to energize the system. Temple is not a place of worship. Temple is not a place where you go and make appeals to some unknown god up there. This is not that kind. This is not a place where you lead a prayer. That is the uniqueness of this culture. Here, temple is like a body, energized in a certain way. Now, if you see the masculine temple that we have, is circular in nature, because that is the quality that it is. The feminine temple is in the form of a triangle. There's a whole lot of things in its geometry, how it is made. See, all the wings are 33 feet, properly done, in the multiples of 11. It is made in a certain way to create a feminine energy there. Why 33? If you go into these details, there's an enormous amount of science behind that. Like your spinal column is 33 aspects. And
which I just risked right now.
So there are so many aspects to this, which I don't wish to go right now. But essentially, it is feminine energy. Where was the need for this, in a way? See, one thing is today, the feminine is at huge risk on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately people may think, that's because of the man. Maybe man instigated it, but when I say masculine and feminine, I'm not talking about male-female. I'm talking about those two aspects, those two dimensions of life, without which our life will not be beautiful. Our life cannot work, actually, even in the most fundamental way. So because people start thinking in terms of dominance, this is a problem.
Yeah.
If you're not looking at life as dominance, if you're looking at life as integration, if you're looking at life as cooperation, if you're looking at life as oneness, then without these two dimensions, there is no existence. But unfortunately, societies have taken on to this as to who is dominating right now, whether masculine or feminine. If any one of them dominates, it'll turn ugly. It's not that if masculine dominates, it'll turn ugly, or feminine dominates, it'll turn ugly. If any one of them dominates, it'll turn ugly. Above all, if you start thinking in terms of dominance, your life will turn ugly. By domination, you will not know life. Only by inclusion, you will know life. So this is essentially to create an energy force where people can experience a powerful sense of feminine, a fiery nature of the feminine thing. See, feminine is a very fiery form of energy. But today, because we have made economics the most important aspect of human societies, naturally, see, we need to understand this. Economics is being glorified as if it's some kind of a divine thing. Mm-hmm. Economics essentially means survival process. Economics has a place in our life for sure, but it is not the be-all of life. So feminine doesn't belong to that dimension. If in these societies, love, art, music, above all aesthetics of life was dominant in a society, if aesthetics was as important as economics, nobody had to bring up the feminine. Feminine would be naturally, exuberantly alive and manifest in the society. Today, either we are slowly making all the women like men because they have to survive, they have to earn money, they have to provide, or a small percentage of them in reaction, not being able to cope with that, they're becoming like Barbie dolls. Here we are creating a woman who is fiery and powerful in a completely different way.
So what you're saying is, you just said love, art, aesthetics. Use those three words as part of the feminine energy. Now, I'm a filmmaker. I'd like to assume that I have all three in myself. So that's my feminine energy.
Yes, it is. So if you do not have the feminine, you won't look and think in terms of what's beautiful, what's not beautiful. You'll only think in terms of what's useful and what's not useful. You'll become utilitarian. The masculine is like that.
So you
being a man or a woman has nothing to do with it.
So am I in conflict constantly between my masculine and feminine self?
Why? See, that's the whole thing. These two energies are the basis of creation. Why would they be in conflict? They're in absolute collaboration. It is only in human mind that it's in conflict. In life, it's not in conflict. In energy, it's not in conflict. Only in mind, it's in conflict because mind divides.
Because the people who are listening to you say the sheer absolute power of the feminine energy, they don't relate to that. They see feminine energy as something gentle, nurturing, soft.
No.
Tell me about the power of feminine energy, because a lot of our culture talks about various goddesses that have a sense of huge power. And almost violent.
The original goddesses that we created in this culture were all Kali, Bhairavi, now she is Bhairavi, all fierce, powerful creatures, okay? Somewhere down the line, when the outside influences came upon the culture and people made fun of them, people ridiculed, your women are like this, then they tried to domesticate the feminine. And then they created Saraswati, Lakshmi, very soft, gentle, housewife kind of feminine. Bhairavi, you can't contain her to the limitations of yours. Not that she cannot stay in your house. You cannot contain her to the boundaries of your house. She's all-encompassing. That's the nature of her. That's the nature of the feminine, that it's all-embracing, not all-conquering, you must understand. Man wants to be in conquest. A woman wants to embrace.
And
by conquest, you will never have it. By embrace, you will have it, isn't it? See, now it's come to a point where the work has become almost feminine, okay?
Yeah.
You need gentle hands to do what they're doing. But before that, this rock was in the quarry, okay? There you needed some hard tools to cut it, make it a big piece, transport it in the truck, bring it in, hold it there, cut it down to size.
Yeah.
All that was very masculine. If that masculine work had not happened, this feminine part would be not possible.
Yeah.
This is so in the society also, I want you to see.
Yeah.
If the man goes about, breaks down nature, builds his home and all this, then the woman comes in and makes it beautiful. If she didn't come in, he would just have a rock house which is of no consequence. Nobody enjoys being there. They'll have a house and they'll live outdoors. It's happening in cultures where feminine has been suppressed. They have great homes, but they always want to be outdoors.
It's a good place to talk about what consecration means. What does consecration mean? What do you consecrate? I mean, what is that? What is that process and what is it achieved?
See, this is happening everywhere around you, all the time. One form of existence or one form of energy is transforming itself into another. What is mud is becoming flower, fruit and food, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is filth is actually becoming a flower.
Yeah.
What is stink is becoming fragrance. It's happening. If you eat the food, this food becomes, from what was just a grain of rice, becomes such a sophisticated machinery like human body. So if you make mud into food, you call it agriculture.
Yeah.
If you make food into this, you call it digestion. If you make this into mud, usually we call it cremation or burial.
So that video audio goes on a little bit longer. I don't think we need to hear all that, but I hope that his message about the feminine energy being one of integration, cooperation, how about forgiveness? I thought about while he was talking, and I hope you were thinking about some things as well as he was sharing his wisdom about the feminine, would say the feminine energy in the case that we just witnessed decided on forgiveness. How about that one? And everyone is crying, no, no, kill him, kill him. It reminded me of Yeshua or Jesus at the well when they wanted to stone the woman who they said had sinned. And he said, you who's who is without sin, throw the first stone. They all dropped their stones and walked away. And the Messiah blessed the woman with forgiveness no matter what her sin was. So that's what that reminded me of, is that we always have people in our society who think they're better than the person who killed the victim. And so here we are today having been bombarded with all this news. I didn't watch any of this trial. Today was the first day I learned a whole lot about it, seven women. I'm like, oh, that's enough for me to know that this was all about us focusing more and more on developing feminine energy in this society, in our earth. Because who's running this government right now? It's a male, mostly male energy. Who's dropping the bombs? The military industrial complex. And as he said, the feminine energy brings in more love, hopefully, more art, more aesthetics. And we become more forgiving. So in so many ways, I think this trial represents forgiveness. That many people who have committed crimes and, quote, sins, whatever, are being forgiven right now. And guess who leading the pack? The seven women. So we've got a comment from Naima says, I think that the people who engaged in protests when Jacob Blake was shot, it was because they saw the video. They saw a man get shot in the back seven times who was not attacking the officer. The same with George Floyd and others who were shot or killed. It was seen on video. The reaction was beyond race. The souls, black, white, they said, that witnessed unprovoked violence were outraged. I agree totally with that statement. And then here's the other side of that. There's karma. There's reaping and sowing. So that people who are judging the events in the media, which hypes up and blows up everything so they can get more views, right? And they can create the division. We got to remember all that news about George Floyd was blown. They had T-shirts and hats made 2 days after he was killed. So what was that about? So all of that is true about the triggering of emotions from events like that cause us to want to judge people, put them in jail. The police officer needs to go, and I think he did, he is in jail. So all of that because the media produced a drama show for us and we didn't look at the elements of karma, reaping and sowing. What did George Floyd do to deserve what he got? There was an element in there that anybody like George Floyd deserves what he got because it's true karma. It's reaping and sowing. And that's what we're talking about. The scripture says the Creator knew us before we entered into the womb. My idea, my suggestion is, and then Naima needs to let me know if she's ready for another break because we're at the top of the hour again. My suggestion is going forward, we're going to look at the higher overstanding of events on this planet. That if the Creator knew us before we went into the womb, then I'm suggesting that everything that happens on this earth is like a divine partnership, a soul partnership with everybody. My relationship with the women on the Female Solution has all been ordained and planned before it even happened. And I believe, I've come to believe, and you can sure make comments, that all the events that we are involved in, the circumstances, the Creator's hand is over everything, directing the whole show, because He knew us, they knew us before we came into our mother's womb. So this play down here is all being directed and controlled by events. Sandra Bland, I think about that day that Sandra Bland met that police officer who dragged her out of that car and treated her so badly. That was all, in my opinion, divinely planned. Yep. It was a script from on high. It's, the Creator knew her and that police officer. And if we can begin to think of these divine partnerships down here, that every time we meet someone, it's no accident. Mama AZ talks about this a lot, and I'm going to play this after the break, about Neil Donald Walsh's conversations with God, how everything happens in synchronicity, and then we have, and nobody's going to be going to hell and all that, because all of this was divinely organized and planned. We got the script before we even got in our mother's womb. It was stored in our subconscious, and then we've been just working out this script, and we think we're in control, but we're really not. We make choices, but the things that the people we meet, have you ever met someone and thought, wow, it feels like I've known you all my life? Wonder why. You feel like you've known someone all your life. It could be in another lifetime. And even with the events that have happened recently, these people who were killed by this young 18-year-old, karma maybe, they killed someone else's soul in another life, and so it was time for them to go, and guess who was assigned the rifle, the guns, the weapon to kill them and get them out of here because it was their time. It was their assignment. And that's what we're exploring tonight, is that we all have an assignment that was divinely planned before we entered our mother's womb, according to Jeremiah 1, chapter 5. The Creator sat down with our soul, our star seeds of light up there. Think about it. We had a little meeting up there with the Creator before we came down here and into this human vessel, this sacred temple. This is the temple. The scriptures say the Creator does not dwell in buildings made by man, but the Creator is dwelling in here. So imagine that we have these antennas going up into the cosmos, connecting to our starseed planet, and it's directing our performance here to help us complete our assignment. And for Kyle and all the people in that drama, I'm going to open up all the people in that drama, in that protest about Mr. Jacobs, who had to go get in a wheelchair. Just think about somebody who's sitting in a wheelchair right now. Was that an accident, or did the Creator have that in mind to allow them to change their mind and their attitude and their heart? I think anyone who ends up in a wheelchair, no legs, whatever, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue that has been directed and performed by the hands of the divine. So that's what we're considering tonight with the audios that we're going to play. And then Naima Latif is going to play our next commercials. Thank you, Naima. And Naima, your mic is open. You're ready.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Subject may be a little challenging for some people to grasp, but it's okay because as I get this download of information, I always question whether I should share it or not because it just feels like sometimes people just not ready for this, but I got to do what I got to do. And it's always a nudge that says, yeah, do it, do it, do it. And then something will happen, say, do it, do it, do it. So I pray before I come on and just pray that it'll be received by as many as possible. And then it's always a seed we're planting here on Soul Purpose Healing, that the light comes in and it's spread out, and sometimes it's too bright, but that's okay. We have forgotten who we are. That's this next message. Is about from Neil Diamond Walsh, I believe. I'm going to play a few lessons from Neil Walsh. Neil Walsh is an author of the book Conversations with God, if you've read that book. Mama AZ has talked about it a lot. Neil Donald Walsh. And he gives us a perspective that we really do need. It's not about black and white at all. It really isn't. And that's why I love his lessons on YouTube or wherever, because we just can't seem to get our minds off black and white. Martin Luther King kept saying, I hope my children will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Can we get there? Yes, we can. As Obama would have said. So let's listen to how we forgot who we are and what is it we forgot. What do we need to remember in these twilight moments?
All human actions are motivated at their deepest level by one of two emotions, fear or love. In truth, there are only two emotions, only two words in the language of the soul. Every human thought and every human action is based in either love or fear. This is what I have called the sponsoring thought. It is either a thought of love or fear. This is the thought behind the thought behind the thought. It is the first thought. It is prime force. It is the raw energy that drives the engine of human experience. Every thought, every statement, every feeling is creative. Listen to your feelings. Listen to your highest thoughts. Listen to your experience. But in the moment you pledge your highest love, you greet your greatest fear. You will not have that for which you ask, nor can you have anything you want. This is because your very request is a statement of lack. And you're saying you want a thing only works to produce that precise experience, wanting in your reality. The correct prayer is therefore never a prayer of supplication, but a prayer of gratitude. When you thank God in advance for that which you choose to experience in your reality, you in effect acknowledge that it is there, in effect. Go first to your highest thought about yourself. Imagine to you that you would be if you lived that thought every day. Imagine what you would think, do, and say, and how you would respond to what others do and say. It's your words about it. I'm broke. I haven't a dime. I don't have any money. That dictates how long you stay broke. It's your actions surrounding it, feeling sorry for yourself, sitting around despondent, not trying to find a way out because what's the use anyway, that creates your long-term reality. Your thought about yourself is that you are not good enough, not wondrous enough, not sinless enough. You have denied for so long who you are that you've forgotten who you are. Yet if you know who you are, you will never fear. But you do not know who you are. You think you are a great deal less. Where did you get the idea of how much less than magnificent you are? Do you want your life to take off? Begin at once to imagine it the way you want it to be and move into that. Check every thought, word, and action that does not fall into harmony with that. Move away from those. When you have a thought that is not in alignment with your higher vision, change to a new thought. I tell you this, all you see in your world is the outcome of your idea about it.
Another author, I'm going to play Neil Diamond next, but I hope you heard that love, fear, and gratitude. Love, fear, and gratitude. Wouldn't it be interesting if after a trial like we all just witnessed with an 18-year-old who shot two men who are now in the grave, that we could express gratitude? Why? Because it was a divine plan. It was all of the, and then we could ask the question, what's the lesson from this? Well, one of the lessons is seven women had the final say about whether this young man would be forgiven. Hello? And it just speaks to me about the feminine nature of our Creator coming in and not wanting to punish people, instead wanting to forgive them now. And even those who we have seen, well, they were innocent. They didn't do anything. They got shot, and they didn't do anything wrong. Well, the Creator thought differently. when that type of action occurs, where someone gets shot, George Floyd dies, whatever, it was the Creator's hand all along, and we don't recognize that. We think it's just evil man, but I'm trying to say, if you had an agreement before you went into your mother's womb that you were going to die on a certain day and nobody knew about it but you and the Creator, then guess what? These things happen. Death happens because you and the Creator decided this is how you were going to leave the planet. Well, we don't see it like that. So let's keep on growing and learning what we forgot. We forgot when we came in our mother's womb that the Creator and I have an agreement, and the day my soul leaves this body was an agreement, and it's okay. We who are left behind are meant to take it to heart and say, what's the lesson here? So let's be grateful that this Kyle has been forgiven. And then we can go on and say, well, what's the lesson here? Instead of, well, it's a black thing. You know, we can't let him get away with this again. Here we go again, a white man getting away with murder. And we can't have this pattern keep going on and on and on. That's the attitude in the third dimension. This is wrong. This is wrong. And that's why we're still in the twilight zone, in my opinion. One more audio, and then we're going to go to the phones. But this is about conversations that...
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another video from developedmind.org. My name is Neil, and in today's video, I'm going to be hitting you with a quick 5-minute book review of Conversations with God, Book 1 by Neil Donald Walsh. Guys, first of all, he has an awesome name, but this is actually a book 1 in a trilogy of 3 books, and they're probably 3 of the best books that I've ever read in my life. So before the video even starts, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to give these books a read. What you find inside them is not what you're expecting. It's just incredible. So let's hop right into the review. Neil Donald Walsh reports that one day as he was frustrated with his life, he decided to write out a message. And this message ended up being an angry letter to God filled with questions about his life. What he got back was extraordinary. Apparently, he started to be able to write messages and have inspiration come down directly from God as his questions got answered one by one. This book is a collection of the conversations he had with God. Whether or not you actually believe he was able to channel God, it doesn't matter. This book has so much great wisdom, which I want to share with you in this video. First of all, God is non-judgmental. This goes against what every religion teaches, especially Christianity, of God being some judgmental God. Instead, God is an observer of things who simply watches everything as it happens. God is all loving. In the same way that you cannot love up more than you love down, or hot more than you love cold, or in more than you love out, God is all loving and loves all equally the same, infinitely. God loves the happiness and the sadness, the bitter and the sweet. People may ask, why doesn't God make an end to suffering? The real question should be, why don't we put an end to suffering? Humanity has the capabilities and the technologies to do so, but yet we remain fine with letting millions of people starve every day. God gives us the free will to help others, and it's up to us to decide what we're going to do with that free will. Quote, a true master is not the one with the most students, but one who creates the most masters. A true master is not the one with the most followers, but one who creates the most leaders. A true king is not the one with the most subjects, but one who leads the most to royalty. A true teacher is not the one with the most knowledge, but one who causes the most others to have knowledge. And a true God is not one with the most servants, but one who serves the most, thereby making gods of all others. Unquote. This book delves into the idea of sin. It states that there is no such thing as sin, and that humans are definitely not born in sin. Why would God create an imperfect being when every human is created in the likeness of God? A just God would never create beings to be born in sin. He also definitely wouldn't send anybody to an endless torment for simple mistakes. The book teaches that there are only 2 emotions, love and fear, and that every action is from these 2 responses. It teaches to never be fearful, but to be cautious. The book touches on relationships and says that most relationships fail because people go into them thinking of what they can get out instead of what they can put in. The point of relationships is to see what parts of yourself come out, not what parts of another person you can cling on to. Relationships should be used by both parties to reach their highest versions of self. not for each other person to grasp the highest version of the other. Relationships fail when people start losing themselves to the other instead of letting themselves shine more and more. The book is filled with other bits of wisdom, such as how we view others will correlate to how they view themselves. If you have a grand vision of someone and what they could be, they are more likely to feel that energy and start to view themselves that way.
So that's just a tidbit. Neil Diamond's coming up. I had so many. His audio is coming up about your life and what it's really about. But love and fear, that keeps coming up, love and fear. We've been in fear over the last year. People are passing away. People are suffering because they're afraid of a virus. So let me go to the calls and let's get another perspective on this journey we're on. 773-366, your mic is open.
Yes, good evening, Viata. This is Naima. How are you?
You always surprise me with that number. Go ahead. It's your possibility.
Yeah, well, my other phone lines are tied up with all the other things we're doing. But, you know, I did want to comment. And I'm glad you played that piece about Neil Donald Walsh's book on conversations with God, because so many people blame God for being unjust and so forth. But really, all of us are here to learn how to reflect the nature of God, which is only love. And the many, many, many people who have testified, those who have gone to the other side, whether near-death experience, whatever the case may be, or even recalling the death experience under hypnosis and past life regression, all have confirmed that there's basically, this is like a game we're playing, and the rules of the game go like this. You have to learn to love all equally and to forgive all. Now, if you have a particular group that you are unforgiving of or resentful of or angry of or discriminatory towards, then when you transition, you realize your perspective was incorrect. So you choose of your own free will. Your soul chooses to then reincarnate as a member of that group that you did not like. So all things are just in terms of how the Creator has designed things, because it's all designed to teach us how to love unconditionally and equally and to forgive those who have not yet evolved in their understanding. So now I recall reading a piece by a woman who, she through her past life regression, she discovered that she had been sent to the gas chamber by Nazis, and she thought how cruel it was that they could have been so cruel, you know, so unloving, and she could not forgive them. Right. And so then as she went through her life review, she realized that she could not forgive people who were in an authority position and abuse that authority. She couldn't forgive them for that act of them being, you know, part of the Gestapo that, you know, took her to the gas chamber. So in her next life, she was a police officer, a military person, someone who then was given authority and had to make those kinds of decisions. And as a result, she then came to understand what happens to a person that creates that kind of personality that causes them to make those kind of decisions that hurt people. So that gave her compassion for the people who in another life had been the Gestapo that caused her to be taken to the gas chamber. Under Nazi Germany. So the whole point of our various life experiences is to love people wherever they are in their evolution and to forgive them if they are still of a lower consciousness that causes them to harm people. As, you know, Yeshua, you know, demonstrated, forgive them for they know not what they do. Understanding that people who are not yet evolved don't know what they're doing. So you forgive them because they haven't risen to that level of the divine mind where there's only love and not fear. So that's the name of the game. So people who are, whether you're stuck on hating white people and, you know, angry and, you know, can't let that go, well, in the next life you'll probably need to be a white person so that you can understand what creates that mentality. And if you're angry or hateful of black people and you know, discriminatory, well, then the next life you'll probably need to be a black person so that you can understand, because the whole thing is for you to let go of all, as you said, you know, all the racial fixations, and to see everyone as a soul equal in the sight of the Creator. That's what we're here to learn how to do. So now when we see these situations where someone seems to have gotten away with an injustice, or a different point of view might be, oh, well, they did the right thing. They were supposed to kill those people. What we need to see as a society is where the lack of growth still remains. Where is the pain? Where is the hurt? Where is the healing need to happen in our society? Because as you know, the earth is about to split. And those who have achieve that level of understanding, they're going to go with the new earth where no negativity can exist. Those who haven't yet attained a level of understanding, they'll stay with the old earth where the vibration is low and people are still hateful and mean and hurtful and discriminatory, and they will continue their evolutionary process. Everybody who is aware of it is aware of it, and you're one of those who's aware. And so when we speak of the fifth dimension where we're evolving to, when that happens, the people who are still on that lower level won't even know it happened. And the people who are on the level where they have attained the understanding that all people are equal and they're able to love people, they will be experiencing a different life, even though we'll still be in some ways in the same space. We will be having two different experiences. And so this is what is happening right now. There's a separation between the loving and the unloving. And everybody has the free will to evolve to that higher level. If they choose to stay stuck, then they'll choose to stay on the old earth. So what we're all doing as light workers, we're trying to help those who don't see to understand where they're making an error. But if they don't get it, that's okay. At some point, they won't even be in our space, and we won't even be experiencing that negative energy. But that's the name of the game. For those who know, they already know. For those who don't know, they can argue about it, but it won't change the reality of what actually is happening. So there it is.
Thank you. Thank you, Naima. Beautiful words of truth. And I think with your knowledge and wisdom and this emphasis on love and not fear, and you can see maybe why Kyle had to be forgiven. This man, we are in a season of female rising and the reduction of the patriarchal system, less war, and we are promoting forgiveness now. And that forgiveness means that we're not going to punish men and women for the things they do, but hopefully we're going to be more in the rehabilitation. That's what we need. We're sending people out to prison. We need some rehabilitation, and I think the feminine energy can create that rehabilitation. Mama AZ, your mic is open. Thank you again, Naima. Mama AZ, I think your mic's open.
Grand Risings. Thank you, Dr. Lateef. Your husband, just like, wow, I am so grateful. I am so grateful. Dr. V, I sent you Barbara Marciniak's. I've been playing it for like 3 days over and over and over, because every time I play it, is 2 hours and some change, but it doesn't matter to me because it is so punch with powerful information. And I also sent it to you, Dr. Lateef, as well. I wish you could get you, meaning you, Dr. V, Neil Donald Walsh, the soul and the little son, a little son and the soul. I have the video, but I'm sure it's up on the thing. It's 30 minutes, and it's really, really, really something that you should share with your listening audience. It is very
And, you know, thank you for bringing that up. I was looking for that today, actually. I called you and left a message, but I was looking for that. I was trying to remember the name of it, and I remember it was about little boy. But, yeah, one of these days I'm going to play at least part of that. But, yeah, I've heard that a couple of times. And that's a powerful truth and perception about the divinity that we are from the beginning in the cosmic seed realm, and the little boy who talks about his assignment, I believe it was to come to Earth and have a particular assignment, right? And to do things that people expect that we are doing in this realm, and have this partnership. It's a divine partnership that we have with the Creator.
The little boy was a bully, and he bullied this other little boy, and he didn't want to go to school, and so they got in a position where they had a reasoning exchange, and he said, you know, we agreed that we would do this, and this isn't who you are. You're really not a bully, you know, and you must remember, you have to remember. But it's just so fascinating, the downloads that I've been getting. I couldn't switch over because I was on the Black Indian Conference. Oh man, this weekend, family, has been so powerful because there's a lot of information that's coming down through the pipeline. And last year, I was able to be at Miracle Valley at the resting spot for 14 days. And it's where Reverend Asa Allen is laid to rest, him and his family. And they cloaked me. And when I say cloak, I mean the ancestors. They cloaked me for 14 days to let me be out there that long in a tent in 100-degree heat, sometime 110-degree heat, which was great for me. And get the downloads, and just like Dr. Lateef said, you know, and Reverend Asa Allen communicated this to me as well, that if they're going to be ones who are going to be leaving the planet and go to another space if they choose to continue what they're doing with the energies, and pretty soon ones who are of a higher consciousness, they won't even be bothered with the crap of people who are in the lower consciousness, and they can continue to kill people, do whatever they do, because that's what people come to planet Earth to do, many in the first place, because they want to feel what it feels like. And I believe those seven women made a metaphysical statement by showing forgiveness, that if the planet doesn't understand and overstand that, then I don't know what else to say. You know, because these are very interesting times, family, that we should be grateful to live in. And I'm figuring out even my situation, you know, going through this discomfort, and I'm not upset because my nerves have been ripped apart, you know, and I don't feel certain things, and it's kind of bugging me because I don't feel my private parts. But, you know, I said, well, maybe that's what I came back to the planet to feel, not how it feels not to feel. And,
audio where he was talking about, Sadhguru mentioned that when you are only using your senses, your smell, your nose, your ears, that you're limiting what you can feel in the divine sense of power.
Yes.
So that's very insightful of you.
Yes. Go ahead, Dr. V. Yes. So anyway,
you're reduced. Your physical expression is being reduced, but your metaphysical and your divine energy is being heightened and enhanced at this time, it seems.
Yeah, I think I you just may have a point there, and I really have to commend Dr. Lateef for coming in that body of being highly melanated and not a Caucasian body, because there are so many dear ones who are of the indigenous persuasion. And all they know is God, business, and what have you. So as much as you can, family, listen to Barbara Marciniak, the Day of the Dawn or something. I don't know. I sent it to you. And it's long.
Okay.
But
my God.
It's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I love her. I read her book a long time ago. That really gave me some powerful.
I sent it to you just before you opened my thing, and you and Dr. Lateef and others, you really have to listen. You really have to listen to this one.
Thank you, Mama AD, and we send lots of healing prayers and energy to you to recover quickly and get back on that rodeo again. We're going to take our last commercial break. Thank you, Naima Lateef. She's in the Female Solution Studio. And don't forget tomorrow, Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda in the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Studio. Thank you.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Lateef. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Lateef, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, jobs?
relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
And we're back. Thank you for joining me. If you just joined us, we've been talking about the divine partnership that we all have, every human being has with the creator of heaven and earth. Because in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we are reminded, if you choose to believe this scripture, that before we entered our mother's womb, the creator says, I knew you. And the word knew, I remember looking up that knew. It means that it's like intimacy. It's like sex, actually. It's like the intimacy. Our creator had intimacy with his creatures before they went into the mother's womb. And it says, before you were born, I actually set you apart, sanctified you, anointed you. And then I ordained you to be a prophet in the nation. Well, a prophet can speak not only with words but with their life. And I think what we've just seen this past week with this 18-year-old who went to trial and seven women on the jury had the final say of what? Forgiveness. Not punishment, but forgiveness. And then you add that with the five men on the jury, 7 and 5 equals 12. You get 12 equals 1 and 2 equals 3, and you've got a triangle. In this whole week, what we've missed, what most of the media missed and the political egos missed and the black leaders missed, is that the message from on high was, we've got a triangle here, folks. This young man, 18 years old, yes, he took the life. He took some people out who with their appointed time to go. And now it's about forgiveness. So 7 women, 5 men, 3, triangle shows up. And Neil Donald Walsh has a message for us about our life is not about us.
For the first 50 years of my life, Christian, I thought that my life was about me. I had the attitude of a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old or a 6-year-old, but I had that attitude when I was 29 or 39. I just, you know, I thought I wasn't a bad person. I'm not trying to paint myself as this horrible individual, but I was fairly self-centered. I was looking at my own career, my own goals, my own objectives, my own needs, my own wants, my own desires. I tried to be even-handed about it. If somebody helped me out, I tried to give back if I could, and all those things that we're taught to do. But basically, my life was focused on me. Fascinatingly, even though my life was focused on me virtually all the time, my life wasn't working. I mean, at some point in my life, I really got, gosh, I can't seem to find happiness that lasts more than a little while. I can't seem to find success that lasts more than a little while. Everything is so ephemeral. It just comes in and goes out, comes in and goes out. I never seem to get anywhere to the top of the mountain. When is the struggle over? That's what I was experiencing when I had my first conversation with God. So that's the context. That's the background why I was given that wisdom. Because I asked God, okay, obviously there's something here I don't understand. I've listened to what my daddy told me. I listened to what my mommy told me. I listened to what my religion told me. I listened to what my culture told me. But there's some missing data. I felt that there was just some information that was missing. So I said to God, what is it? What is it that I don't understand here? The understanding of which would change everything. And God said to me, Neil, it's really very simple. And then she said what you just said here. Neil, your life is not about you. Your life is about everyone else whose life you touch and the way in which you touch it. And I said, well, I don't understand. I'm supposed to give up everything that I ever wanted or desired or hoped for, or give up all of my goals, all of my objectives. And she said, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You don't have to set aside all of your goals, set aside all of your objectives, set aside all of the things, all of your desires. No, I didn't say that. But it's about achieving them, working toward them, moving toward them in a whole different way for a whole different reason. If you're doing those things to enrich the lives of everyone whose life you touch, watch the world fall in on you with wonder and joy and celebration. But if you're doing those things together, to gather, get, have more, that you just like, you know, you just want to get as much as you can for yourself, if that's your prime motivation, you're going to be struggling every day for the rest of your life. So just, you know, but you're so, I said, but I have to, you know, I got a family to take care of, I've got a life to live, I got to put a roof over my head, I've got to solve all these problems. And, you know, God said to me, Neil, don't go around asking, what are we to eat, what are we to drink, wherewithal will we clothe ourselves? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And the kingdom of God that you're seeking is the experience of your oneness, your singularity, your unity, your melding with every other person and every other thing in life. That's heaven. Heaven is the experience of never feeling separate from anyone or anything ever again. So when I say your life is about everyone whose life you touch, I'm really saying your life is about you, but big you, universal you, not this little package that you call you over here, not local you and your little, excuse me, little puny wants and little puny desires. You know, I mean, play in the sandbox of life if you want to, but your life is about big you, the you that encompasses everyone and everything. And in that sense, your life is about everyone and everything you touch and the way in which you touch it, because the way in which you touch everyone else is the way in which life will touch you. What goes around comes around. Or someone said very clearly, do unto others as you would have it done unto you. Because it will be done unto you, I promise. What you send out will come back to you. Life has no choice. That's simply the way it works.
What about moments when you're feeling down or depressed? What can we do to get in that state of understanding that our life is about others?
Find someone else who's down and depressed and give them what you want for yourself. If you want to get out of being down and depressed, take someone else out of their depression. If you want to have more abundance, provide more abundance for someone else. Whatever you want in your life, cause someone else to have in theirs. Be the source. The magic formula to get out of any bad space is to help someone else who's in the same kind of space get out of it. What God said to me was, Neil, this is really very simple. The formula is ridiculously simple. Whatever you want to experience in your life, the end of a bad mood, or whatever it is you want to experience, cause someone else who's having the same experience you're having and trying to figure out how to end it, be the cause of their ending their bad experience. So whatever you want more of in your life, cause someone else to have more of. If you want more people to be more patient with you, be more patient with others. If you want more humor in your life, bring more humor into the life of others. If you want more joy in your life, bring more joy into the life of others.
And so we now have a new focus this week, going into the end of November, oh my goodness, Thanksgiving week. Let us take some time together to breathe as usual, to breathe in life and to remember death comes at some point, because breathing in and out is all about life and death, the cycle of life and death, breathing in life, and exhaling, exhaling, remembering the death that is soon to come to all of us. And it's the one lesson I hope you take away tonight, the one lesson about this trial that many have witnessed in the media has been about forgiveness and not punishment, because it's so easy to throw someone in jail, but there's no rehabilitation usually in prison. This one, we don't have to worry about punishment for this 18-year-old. He's got his own punishment to deal with, that you took the life of two people. And I think that's what we forget. Somehow we think if the court system punishes someone, that, wow, that's a good thing. They got punished. They're in prison. They killed my so-and-so. They killed that. But the real punishment comes from their own consciousness, their own heart issues that they'll have to deal with, because they took the life of a person. So why the seven women said forgiveness is in order here, according to the divine plan, and the five men went along with the seven women, and they made a triangle, male, female, creator, joining together in a triangle to bring about the real justice of forgiveness, in this case at least. I have a caller who pressed 1. Let's see, 706-202. Your mic is open. It looks like Kwame Sunhorse. Welcome. How are you?
Good evening, Sister Viata. Tuned in late. You know, the last part of what you're saying is very true. It's about forgiveness. And the part of it is, and you said before, about the breath, about the inhale and the exhale. And then the indigenous teaching, it says between the inhale and the exhale is the sacred space. It's the life force that you take in before you let it back out. And that's the part when you were talking about the willingness for us to, what Neil Donald Walsh was sharing, is that being able to give, you know, because the Creator gives. And this is why I find comfort in working with our people, especially the ones in recovery, knowing that down and out person that drugs and alcohol is taking a toll on, and watch the miracle that comes about in them turning and finding their way to a power greater than themselves, and the transformation that comes about when they give up substance and they give up the part of being their own worst enemy. Because the thing that I found out when I began my recovery was that, I remember Dr. Berenice said, you know, most alcoholics and drug addicts are committing suicide. They just take a slower, easy way out. And so I remembered that, and the part for what you were talking about and what the Egyptian pantheon talks about is a tomb. And what Atum was is that he masturbated and made Geb and Nut. And that came from that one person came the two, and from the two came all the people that populate the planet. So it's those type of learnings that we see the power of our Creator. And being and knowing that you're here as a human being. You know, we talk about indigenous and Native Americans and Indians and all of these names, but 600 years ago, there was no such thing here on this Turtle Island. These are things that came with the people that brought what they brought here, because even with science right now is discovering that there are almost 60 million people here in the West, in the Americas, the North America, Central and South. And they said that by between 1600 and the early 1900s, it was only 6 million left. And in that time, it created almost an ice age. And we're talking about global warming. That was global cooling down, because all of the lives that were taken through disease and the things that was done to the people that lived here. So we have an opportunity with this great shift and this great reset to be able to take in a new energy of consciousness that is being given for us to have an opportunity to move from the Homo sapien to the Homo spiritus and to be in divine order. Because once we understand that we're just stewards of this planet, and this planet will replenish itself. Man is the one that's out of order, and we have to bring order back to us as humans, and this is what the challenge is for all that's here right now dealing with the AI, but they have to understand what the BI is always going to be. Divine intelligence will oversee any artificial intelligence, and this is the opportunity to see that you are the one you've been waiting for.
That's right. Thank you, Kwame Sunhorse. And there are going to be people leaving this earth, and I think we should give thanks for those people who get their reward and graduate from this planet, this earth realm. Let's do at least a minute, where it's almost time to do our farewell greeting. But let's do at least a minute of...
No, I just want to share one thing. Today is November 21st. My great aunt was born November 21st, 1912. And November 21st, 2012, she got up in the nursing home. She had her cupcake and she read her birthday cards and she ate her breakfast and she went in and she says, well, I'm going to take my nap. And she went in and she laid down and she died at 100.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Graduation reward. Let us give thanks for women like that who have a graceful graduation. And let us just take 1 minute to breathe in, earth my body, water my blood, air my breath, and my spirit. Let's take 1 minute together. Let's together do some inhaling and exhaling. And recognize the sacred space of the world. Inhaling.
Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of thee.
Yes, we say thank you to our global family. Let us remember this week to breathe in the truth of our Creator's love. Not
unmuted.
Fear, but the truth of our Creator's love everywhere surrounding you, trees, everywhere. And the message for trials like the 18-year-old is about forgiveness. There are political giants crying, no, it's not fair, it's not fair. We need justice, justice, and protesting. But just keep the higher point of view that it's all about forgiveness, yourself first, and then love yourself more with better care. There is an attempt right now to reduce the population in planet. We're either going to resist that temptation to go, or you're going to take better care and express more love. So Naima Latif is going to play our farewell global thank you. And I say thank you as well.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books. And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world,
we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheche. India, Zanjaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jung Kujung. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jered. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.